Berlin Art Stories bei Luca Brüllt.
Hi guys, hi. Hi Andrea, hi Philip. Nice to have you guys here.
Hi Luca.
Hi Luca, hi Luca.
How are you doing tonight? Are you fine? Are you hot? It's hot in Berlin.
Hot and sleepy.
And sleepy, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
fantastic.
Philip, thank you for coming after work. Fantastically tired.
Yeah, fantastically tired, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll manage.
We'll manage, true. So, maybe you can tell a little bit about yourself, where do you come from? You are my comrades Croatians, but for the people out there, maybe Andrea.
So, we both come from Croatia, from Rijeka. It's a small city on the northern coast. And we've been living in Berlin like since 10, 11 years. And I personally, I studied art painting in Belgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So after my studies, I returned back to Rijeka,
mm-hmm.
worked there for a couple of years. I had some, I was teaching, I had classes, art classes. And at one point, like, we decided to move to Berlin. I mean, kind of for me, because the basically there was much more opportunity here.
Sure, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Art,
comparing to Croatia. Yeah, so, and then before you moved, maybe I pull you a little bit back. I was curious, how did you two meet? If just shortly, briefly, when did you meet? And yeah.
We met, like, we had friends that we both knew. Mm. And so we saw each other like years before we started dating, but I mean, it was like just meeting spontaneously, nothing serious. And then it just happened, like she wanted to celebrate her birthday at my summer house.
Okay.
And then I said, yeah, why not? And she was really like surprised. And then from this birth date, everything started, like we started to see each other more often, and yeah.
How Sweet. Do you mean I was surprised?
But because you didn't expect me to say yes, why not? Like, I was very like easygoing with these things. If someone wanted to celebrate something or come to the summer house or make a party, it was like open for everyone. So it was,
so
yeah.
So Philip invited you to the party. It was also in Rijeka, where you just mentioned, yeah?
On the coast, a little bit more south.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But one funny story, like later,
yeah.
During our times together, I asked him, like, hey, like, from when do you actually remember me? And then he told me a story when I was coming to visit these friends. That we had mutual friends, so we sometimes would meet there, sometimes not. He said, oh, I saw like red haired Serbian woman coming in, and okay, now I realized it was you, something like that was the
red hair. You had the red hair then.
Yeah.
She was like really like, she looked like crazy person. Like, she was standing out from the mass, you know. It was always like some crazy dresses on her, like clothes totally different from everyone, and this red hair, and she was speaking Serbian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because so, I studied in that time in Serbia and actually adopted the accent.
How come Serbia? Because I know you have, from Croatia. I know you have roots from Serbia. Your father,
I'm basically half.
You're half Serbian,
yeah,
half Croatian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My mother is mm-hmm. Was from Serbia, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go to like academy. I never kind of signed in Zagreb. I signed in Ljubljana. I didn't manage to enter. In Rijeka, there was not academy properly. Was let's say simpler school.
Mm-hmm. So you studied.
Wasn't so professional, so to say, on that level. And we just went to Serbia. I did some courses, something, and I managed to roll in. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's so. Philip seems to me always like a calm part, and then you seem to me a little bit like more red hair part. Is that true?
Well, like, probably still, yeah.
Of course. And Philip, you studied?
I studied in Rijeka. I studied also philosophy and Croatian language, which was like, philosophy was like pretty successful for me. I liked it very much. Croatian language, I didn't like at all. This was just a study because I needed to study something with philosophy. It was like, you couldn't do it only philosophy.
I see, yeah. So it was double it subject, was, so you chose just extra.
Yes. And it was a pain in the ass. So I hate grammatics, I hate...
But at that time you couldn't, was limited. You couldn't also choose, like for example, today you could do philosophy and I don't know, Italian or English. He's like Italian, he speaks Italian like mother language. But at that time you were really limited with like combining options.
I remember. Yeah, on philosophy faculty in Zagreb also you get like, you want to study really something and then you get... Indo languages, or you study Indo languages and you get archaeology or something like that.
Yeah.
How was it called? Double something?
I don't know, but it's
double subject. Double whatever, subject studies. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So the Croatian was extra, but philosophy was. What's your favorite philosopher since that time? Yeah. What brought you into philosophy, man?
What brought me to philosophy?
I never had a chance to ask you. This.
Drugs mostly.
Okay. Interesting. So the main guest is Andrea, but Philip will take over, I see here. Tell us a bit.
For me it was always interesting exploring and like the human mind, exploring and our consciousness, like, mm-hmm. and try to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. In the universe around us, and what is our purpose in life and in general, yeah? So, I was reading a lot in these days when I was younger, end of high school, and like a lot of this, like Castaneda or these authors like
Don Juan, yeah.
Don Juan, mm-hmm. and these things, like in this type. Type of philosophy. Well, I mean, this is not philosophy, but this type of thinking, you can say that. Yeah. And that was also connected with experiencing like LSD.
Oh, okay.
And other drugs also. And but LSD mostly was like, thing to open your consciousness, like to be more aware of the things around you. And basically, it was like it started from there in some way. So I was always interested in exploring my mind and what can I understand, you know, and how can I perceive the world around me in a different way. Maybe in a more deeper way, understand it better. So it started maybe from there, everything. Yeah.
Interesting. Did you have a existential question so early as Philip?
Yes.
What do you think, like, what was your main doubt? Did you have, like, because, I don't know, I had kind of, like, doubts when this life makes sense and so on.
Of course. And I think this is, like... probably also was experience, need to experience drugs, let's say, from my part also. Mm-hmm. Also, I would say from the same reason, but I was maybe not never so brave to be extreme. I was always trying to be moderate, kind of.
Mm-hmm. When did you start with experimenting?
Maybe in...
Or the academy 18, so earlier?
No, when I enrolled in academy, actually, I totally changed. Because for me, I had a pretty big shock in my life. It happened, my mother died. Like, I enrolled in the school, and a month later, she died. Oh. And this was, like, such a huge shock for me. I just like went, said goodbye and everything, and packed my suitcases and went to back to university. And like for 5 years I was a dedicated student like you've never seen. Like I completely changed my personality. For me that was then like I kind of found sense in art.
I see.
I wasn't thinking much about anything. I was like
totally into it.
Yeah, and art helped me to heal kind of suffering and the pain.
It's interesting. Yeah.
So in that time, basically, I was letting go, or some things I already let go. But before, like 18 until I was 2021, so not that long.
Okay, so you had a short couple of years period. Yeah, did you already know Philip at that time? Academy.
This was exactly. But this was the time when we would like meet at this friend's house, but we were all like were in other relationships or completely focused on something else. So it would just be hey ciao.
I see. Like, I'm now picturing you in time, exactly. And space. Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, and you know, you probably know especially in our region, like techno scene was really strong then.
Rijeka especially.
Yeah, it was really, really strong. And we were like, we were in the hype of the moment.
Oh, really? You've been in the pioneers of the techno in Croatia, kind of. Yeah?
I don't know. I don't know. But the scene was really strong. It was really strong. And
many
artists, DJs, important DJs were coming there. Like, and then every weekend, every second weekend, going to a party. So this was basically then connected. But what he also pointed out, the taking drugs started because of the need to explore my own mind, consciousness, subconsciousness.
And this exploring the subconsciousness is it's very cool and interesting. Because I started with drugs because I was kind of bored and I was like a crazy, happy-go-lucky guy, you know, like skateboarding and let's do it. But now what you said at that age, it's quite mature, I would say, like already questioning yourself, Philip.
You can say it mature. It wasn't mature in the end. I mean, it was like...
Of course, we are kids at that time.
It started like a nice idea, but it developed in something else. So it doesn't matter. Like,
how long did you experiment with this starting drugs, LSD and things like this? And
how long? It's hard to
weed.
Say. I mean,
you smoked weed.
Yes. There's weed. I smoke weed every day. Yeah. I mean, like,
but you don't smoke anymore.
No, I don't smoke.
You don't
actually
need drugs anymore.
Actually, weed. Like I was smoking a lot of weed before we came to Berlin, like, and then I just stopped.
When you came here?
No, I stopped before we came here, like in Croatia still. Because weed doesn't do me good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I become very anxious when I smoke, very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And like distorted, and I cannot articulate myself.
Yeah.
And I cannot connect with my brain at all. So I become really a person that I don't like at all.
Okay.
So I stopped completely smoking because weed, maybe it was also bad weed, I don't know, but weed doesn't do me good.
You know what I discovered here in Berlin after having, I was like a pothead as a young age from let's say 16 till 22. And then my father also died when I was 19, so everything fell apart. And then I realized, stopped smoking completely. And then I realized that now in Berlin that there is two kinds of weed, which is people out there probably laughing, but there is this indica which calms you down, and there is sativa, and there is the hybrids, you know. So this sativa, we had, I think, indica like garden weed that we used to grow, and then it came to the market, the skunk and this weed from Netherlands and so on, and I got really like, I don't like this anymore. And so now here and there, I now know the difference between the weed. And indica is something that hits you in the body and calms your mind. And that's, I think, the weed we smoked as young.
Yes, but I also stopped in Croatia. I mean, it probably connected with that. But in general, I try to avoid it. I mean, it's maybe one smoke will not do me any harm. But I think regular smoking, it makes you really
slow
and dumb in the end.
Yes.
I mean, for some people it's good. For me, it's not. That's the end of story. So
my father smoked all his life, and I knew many of friends as a kid. I observed them through the years I was growing up. So I observed them through 10 years, and these guys were like lost in another world. Like there is always something around the weed. Yeah. It's good for this. It's good for that. All the content was about weed.
Yeah, exactly. I see people of our age or a little bit younger who are still kind of attached to this
culture of smoking and what happens
exactly,
socially
daily.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I have a feeling that they are kind of running in circles, you know.
This, if somebody told us before that you can kind of get in this circle, in this magical closed circle, I would.
You know when for me happened, I went to, I don't know if you know Vipassana. It's a type, you heard about Vipassana. It's a type
exercise.
Of meditation.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually meditation with which Buddha Gautama got enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually now the retreats exist in the whole world. You have a couple of them in Germany also.
Mm-hmm.
And you are there for 10 days and just meditate, like 10, 11 hours per day. You go through this really simple meditation. And in the evening, there is a program. Like, and you are not allowed to talk with anyone, to look at anyone's eyes, like really like cleansing. And on the end of each day, you have nice stories are being told, like from different wise people or the guy who founded the Vipassana as a system.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one story which stuck with me still today, you know, about two guys who went on a boat. And they smoked, like, and they sat on a boat and they were rowing. They were rowing. And all night they were like laughing and singing and rowing all night. And in the morning, like the morning came up and they like, okay, where are we? And they realized that they didn't untie the boat. They were stuck in the same place all night rowing.
That's the example best I've heard
like,
so far about.
That was, oh my God, this is it. This is it. And after that, I kind of, you know, like, let's find other ways, you know, to put yourself down, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you don't manage, Aman, you don't manage.
That's such a good example. Like, in the evening, I'm painting something, smoking weed as young, and then I'm like, this is it. I break the, and then in the morning,
what have you done?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, this is went in a drug the immediately direction. So I don't know. It's just I'm now curious how it went further. Like, what was your story, Philip? Then
I mean, it's
tell us a bit how you went through. I mean, I know you went through heart addiction.
Yes. I mean, it's like I started very early. I can say like I started smoking weed before. First, like maybe 15,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Friends,
yeah, mostly friends. Friends in the school, of course.
So weed, 15, and then guys,
and then
friends.
Ecstasy after that, LSD, maybe. I also 16, 17.
What do you think about LSD, just shortly? I took also like maybe 7, 8, 10 times.
I took it a lot of time. And actually, this is the only drug that I use that I don't find so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't find it bad at all if you use it like in a reasonable way. Like, and it's not addictive. That's also one thing. So you cannot get addicted to LSD.
But it's strong as fuck.
It's strong, yes. And it depends how you use it also. I would like... I never used LSD like going on parties or something like that. I used LSD only with specific friends, chosen friends.
Trusted ones.
Trusted ones. And we were always in nature.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Always, always open spaces, never inside closed. Because when you're inside, it can turn you into demons, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous with the LSD. I mean, but when you're in the nature with company that it understands you and that is trying to find the same things out of it, mm-hmm. then you feel the connection with the nature. You feel the energy vibrating in everything around you. You
the
feel
spirits of nature.
You feel connected with the earth, with the sky, with the sea, with the energy, everything.
There are also demons in nature.
There are demons
yes,
everywhere.
But you are connected with them also. I mean, we are, and you feel this energy that we are all one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, LSD can
open mind.
It
doesn't matter, demons or angels or whatever, but we are all one.
Yeah.
In the end, it's everything is one big thing, you know, that is energy. Mm-hmm. And you feel that in the LSD can open these channels for you.
When you say one, is it like one, you are small, being part of something bigger, or?
You are the same. The bigger and the small, we are all the same energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what they call like the source.
And
the
you know, source. you and also you start to feel that these barriers between you, your body, and everything around you, it like dissolves a little bit. You know, so you can reach more
out of the physical body.
Out of the physical body, mm-hmm. yes. But mm-hmm. it's a like artificial way to do it. But it's a nice way for me, for people that cannot do it. Like I think very little, not mm-hmm. a lot of people can do it, not artificially, something like that. But it's good for everyone to see that this is like a possibility, you know, that you are a part of something more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's like ego opens the gates.
It's good to like
get out of yourself.
Get out of yourself, out of the money problems, out of the I'm big, me. Like material world is the most important. I need money. I need this. You know, it's. I would recommend this therapy to a lot of people actually in this world today. Like take
LSD. So what this LSD is a promotion for LSD? Huh?
I just wanted to say now.
So this is the only drug that I would say I don't have any bad memories about. But I was using it
respectfully
and in good company. But of course, then I started to experiment with other drugs also. So I tried cocaine, but I never was addicted to cocaine. It was like just I need try it several times, and it's okay.
It's expensive.
It's expensive also. Then amphetamine. I did a lot of amphetamine.
How is amphetamine? This I never took. I did a bit, but amphetamines are like from pills, no?
No, it's like, I mean it's speed.
A speed amphetamine. Okay, yes, there we yes. go. Slang. Okay, okay. We did try. Yeah, speed.
Yes.
Andrea, speed experience is also, yeah? Okay.
This is the most stupid drug. Like, yeah. It just gives a lot of energy and basically it's cheap cocaine, basically, yes.
That's a good expression, yeah.
It's
cheap
you
cocaine.
Said well, yeah. Cheap
and cocaine. Then I started taking, I tried heroin.
Okay.
Yes, and this is like
something
very dangerous. Yes.
And
yes.
Another. I tried once, vomited because I had a lot of juice. But many
a
of
lot
my
of
friends,
people vomit.
Yeah. And I stopped. I said this is. I was scared because my friends were taking it really intravenous, and so.
Yeah, I also did it later. Like I was taking it like that, but I mean, it makes you really, really. I mean, you feel really good. That's the problem, you know, when you try it, like...
Does it take all other drugs away and becomes the main one? It's so strong?
It's not the it's not the strong, it's not the fact that it's strong, it's the fact that you don't feel the need for anything else, like that's the thing, so you don't need LSD, you don't need
stronger
mind bright
than everything else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it shadows everything else. I mean, so
literally shadows. Huh?
Yes. So and
how was that for you, for young Philip taking?
I mean,
how
I started.
How long did you took it on the nose first? Or
on the nose first, of course. Maybe 1 year or something like that.
Okay, so
maybe less. Even. Did you I started pretty soon with the needle. So
wow.
Yes. I wanted the full experience.
So,
so I was never like.
Andrea, she's not. It's not. You still didn't know Philip at that time.
No. And this
story. I was like 17, 18 years
yes.
old.
Yeah. Okay, I can't believe I
this
am.
This story is now the way he's telling them, or maybe also
this
first time
you
for
can,
me.
You can cut.
No, in my head is all the time Philip had more. So it was like you really can, young.
I can maybe young, put yeah. a smile on my face because I'm all the time like, oh
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. No,
like
it's
I
not.
Will vomit right now.
We are not cutting, we are going through it. Yeah, we will
anyway,
go.
It's like, yeah, it's a. And then I was doing it for a couple of years, maybe 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like,
you got really hooked on, no?
Yes, of course. I got hooked. Like,
where did you get the money?
Oof. Wherever I can.
So
like,
typical. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I was not on the street, you know, I was coming from the Croatian standards, I think pretty wealthy family, like good standing family, you can say like that. Mm-hmm. I never had problems with the money.
Uh-huh. Your parents didn't know?
No.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
In the end, my mother found out and yeah, it was painful for her, of course.
Can you imagine?
Yeah,
but no one else from the family until this day knows.
Yeah, I never thought.
Okay.
Until this day, no one knows.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, then, Philip. Maybe
yeah. So
for somebody out there, maybe
hopefully
it will be an interesting.
Your podcast doesn't blow out so much.
This is going to be underground one for underground.
Yeah.
So, and Andrea, you've been. So, academy, you were finishing at academy, you were curing yourself. It was like a therapy for you.
Yes.
And so, I've seen your paintings. How long you've been, like, when did you discover this kind of, that you're a strong colorist, I would say?
Good question.
Did
when
you fall
did
in
I...
love in something specific, like me, in these swans and silk screens and that I was, when I was young?
I mean... I don't know, I always liked impressionists. So since I was kind of little, was always, even though I wasn't that much into art and aware of my love towards it when I was really small, I always like was fascinated with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and one funny thing is, like my parents, they used to have this, you know, prints on canvas from well-known Baroque or Renaissance painters, you know, on the wall. And then I would take some colors and I would...
On prints?
Yeah, I would like work on them a little bit, you know, decorate them.
To give them a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more vibrancy.
Push them up.
A little bit more color. Yeah, exactly. They were
Manet. Move aside, hold my beer. cool. Now I
have
the phone is locked. I know it's not. So I'm looking now the recent works on your phone. Yeah, these are recent works.
Exactly,
so colorism is amazing. And so I would jump fast forward and talk a little bit about your interest now and what you're doing in Berlin. How would you describe? There is a architecture, the kind of. A bit alienated spaces without humans.
Those are abandoned places that I am visiting, and some are until now what I have are spaces that are based in Berlin and in Croatia. So I'm focusing on the places where I am located.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out spontaneously, but it's kind of interesting that most of these places come from the socialist communist period, especially the ones in Croatia that I'm documenting, and they have a really interesting history in themselves, because they were like mostly abandoned because of the war. Yeah. During the war, like some of hotel resorts, like for example, I don't know here, this is for example, but this is a series that I'm doing on paper. Mm-hmm. And this series on paper, I want to do spaces that are engulfed in nature. So basically abandoned places that've been conquered again with the nature, mm-hmm, surrounding, mm-hmm, them. So in some motives, I am even making the way that nature, like plants, go over the
takes
concrete,
over.
Mm-hmm. Even more dramatic than it is in reality.
I see.
Sometimes I'm dramatizing even more because I want to explore these limitations.
It's
between
like a dualism,
like,
yeah?
Yeah, exactly. All the dualistic points I want to explore, you know. I want to explore these connections of us with nature and us with artificial. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting subject today because of artificial intelligence and its potential, but its dangers also. So it's kind of, through my work, I want to show that actually, in my view, natural is always stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
In my view. So that's why I started doing these works that are on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are on canvas, acrylic or oil, they are basically what you said, alienated places, spaces which are monumental in themselves. And socialist, communist architecture of our country.
Of our country, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Has this like monumental, huge moment, but itself doesn't need a person, doesn't need people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like separation in a way. It's like a very strong monumental architecture which can exist without people. Yeah.
Without, so which my paintings kind of show, but I am with color. I want to give it a little bit of life, vibrancy, and kind of imagine the idea how those spaces could be revived, how they could be living their better life, maybe in another dimension, in another space, in another reality.
Yeah. Did you get these ideas here, since you are here in Berlin? You know, I'm pointing.
I'm pointing a little
bit now to something that three of us might kind of agree. That, like, people ask me, like, Croatia. You are from Croatia. What are you doing here? Go home. It's so beautiful there. Of course, you know, the answer is we are here, multicultural city, and so on, open world. Croatia is a small country, but it's beautiful nature. And I think that we are, in a way, I don't know, Filip, what do you think about this dualism? We are carrying. It's a very strong connection with nature because we all have
miss
houses.
It. We miss it here.
We miss it a lot. That's
exactly. Yeah. I miss the nature a lot here in Berlin.
I mean, you have nature
but it's artificial nature mostly around Berlin. Every forest around it's planted, probably.
Did you notice that the soil is sand? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, this. It's a little bit weird, no?
For me, the biggest problem is like
living in Berlin.
No, but to find in Berlin, okay, I'm talking about nature now. Most of the things are planted and organized. Yeah, you don't see so much wild nature here around Berlin.
True.
In
and
general,
if you see
in Brandenburg,
it's enclosed.
It's like you have these nature parks, but there are so few. You know, there are not many, and that's it.
Yeah.
So everything is planted. Everything is like it has a human touch. You know, and.
Mm-hmm.
I miss also, I miss, we come from the sea, you know, I miss the sea mostly.
I see.
Most of everything. You know, you always have, you know, one side you look and it's like just the emptiness of the sea, you know. It's the clear view with the sun, nothing else, you know, and you feel like the freedom also for your spirit, your soul. And here you don't have.
Yeah. But this makes colors brighter also. You know, now I'm returning back to the point where you, when you ask me when did I realize I'm colorist, I think it's been with me since always. You know, when you are born in a Mediterranean, I mean, I studied in Serbia and like I was, you know, all the time color was, and the still there, the nature is not that vibrant in color. It's also that they have their beautiful corners, lovely, but it's
not like Croatian coast.
It's different. It's totally different.
Now we are, now it's going to be promotion of Croatia. Please don't go to Croatia anymore. We are loaded.
Yes. Stop talking about Croatia.
Yes.
Maybe it's not necessarily Croatia, but any region. I mean, look at the Impressionists. They were also going to the south coast of France where they
were... around Nice down
yeah,
south,
exactly,
Avignon.
Yeah, exactly, where they were painting, Marseille.
Yeah,
you
true,
know?
True, it's true. The perspective of the sea that gives this horizon, it's really
exactly.
something yeah. I haven't thought about.
And I think
that's
the colors are
used to.
Mm. The colors are more vibrant. The colors are more vibrant.
Though. Exactly. And the sun seems a bit more closer down somehow to me, it seems. When I get out
somehow,
in the
yeah.
airport in Pula, it's more light. Yeah, it's a little bit
because
more.
You are more south.
Exactly, yes. And it's also like, talking about the seasons, it's a bit different. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Here, the winter is like never ending. Like this is the biggest adjustment you have to... like cope with. I mean, I think the winter in Berlin, this is like
winters,
the gray,
how many winters
the
have gray, you?
the grayness this is the
I mean yeah, we did all of them
like 11 winters till now, you know.
So you're double, they say, I don't know, some, it's 5 years you're double Berliners now.
Yeah,
you know, 5 winters.
I mean, we
do you consider you Berlin your home?
Yes, now yes. Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean,
You're also building a beautiful house. Yeah. Actually, you are renovating an old house.
Yes,
in
we
Croatia.
Are renovating a house, and now they are working there. So, I hope everything is going.
It's again in Croatia.
Something to make you smile back. So yeah. It's a nice combo, I think, to be in Berlin and to have really opportunity to go to Croatia. People go for holidays, but we are from
yeah,
there.
Ideal,
so
it will be ideal to like.
To live back there with the money or with the connections or
but
with the
I
culture.
Mean, to have an option, you know, to be a little bit there, a little bit here for the beginning, then we see what's going on in the future. But yeah.
Fingers crossed for this. This
it's
is
always, always good to have all more options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think we are, after 11 years, we are starting to get fed up with Berlin. We need change, you know. 11 years is it's enough
change.
For every it's everyone, for every city, you know. It's not about Berlin. Berlin is a great city, but 11 years in one place, it's enough. You should move, you know.
That's
go
true.
Away.
You don't live
do
like
something else.
350
yes,
years.
That's true. So it's enough. 11 years, it's enough. So
absolutely.
We have to change.
Philip was always straightforward and honest.
Yeah.
I also feel
I
the
mean,
same.
I mean, Berlin, it's a great city. I repeat it. It's
yes.
a great city, but...
We love
I mean,
Berlin. Berlin, we love.
I love Berlin, but...
We hate
I
Berlin
mean,
too.
it's enough, you know?
Yeah.
You
know? I also think we are at,
we took
at this
what
age...
We had to.
Mm-hmm. That we are at this age when, you know, we are not too old, we are not young anymore, and we are still, you know, have the power, but we have some knowledge and experience. And why not try to explore other things, you know? And Berlin itself is changing, and it's changed a lot. And we are not the type of people who are going to run for success, for money, you know, we are more simple.
Yeah,
and Berlin is a city
that.
For young people.
It is true. It
yeah,
is true.
Berlin is a city for young people. So we old when we're getting old, we have to move from here. It's not a city for old people. I don't think so.
Why do you say this? What do you think? Why would it be just for the young? I kind of agree on it, but I'm interested.
It's the energy. It's the energy. You just go outside, you know. You go everywhere, you know. You go to Friedrichshain, Kreuzberg, anywhere. I mean, anywhere. Mm. Prenzlauer Berg, you see a lot of young people, you know. It's you feel this energy, young energy in the city.
That's
you know?
True.
It's
true.
It's not.
I'm living near Boxhagener, and when I get out, I feel like I'm
you feel. I also feel like that, you know, every day, more and more, you know that
yeah.
that's you know.
Yeah, But if there will be a possibility to come and to go, that would be great. Talking about possibilities, I would like to also jump a bit to how painting so turned in a way into a business that you didn't. So you're running a successful jewelry brand. What is the name?
Woodland Art Berlin.
Woodland Art Berlin. I will put it later in the link below. So
and basically, as the name says, I'm working with wood.
So she's humble. I will have to give you words. These are little paintings. I've told you before. It's not just now flattering you or something. These are for me little paintings, and I know you have a problem with an eye also. So it's. You're still insisting on it, not taking too Polish, too little, I don't know, Vietnamese, painting these little beautiful wooden... first of all, they have a sculptural form, and then they are like little paintings and super precise. So...
Yeah, actually, this is basically completely created in Berlin, let's say, because I started working with wood when I was still in Croatia. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a carpenter, and I like entered his workshop. One day after he passed, I entered his workshop and I took some of the tools, something, you know, some of the wood, and I started, you know, a little bit exploring, experimenting, working, and it's just. From that, basically, I self-taught myself everything. So with reading, with talking with people who had like similar things, developing also jewelry brands here in Berlin, like all the connecting all the experiences and knowledges, I created. These are basically pieces that are natural wood or hand-painted wood. Combined with metal, with I'm combining with brass, silver, or 18 karat gold plated silver. Depends on the models. So the most popular are the earrings. Mm-hmm. I would say girls like them a lot, and
they're beautiful.
They can look really also really nice. I mean, because of the colors, really can be a spot on matching with the tone of the skin, eyes, hair. Like really, I like also those moments when girls choose something and they really like it and it fits them perfectly. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
and it clicks, and then they are having this and little uplift piece of art on the ear.
Yeah,
since you studied academy and your paintings, I see those colorisms inside. And
it's basically this. Intense color, contrast, composition, it's pretty simple in that, simple and straightforward in that sense. Like, I mean, for me, the idea is to create something what looks really simple, but actually behind of that are hours of work and years of experience. Mm-hmm. So, but when you look at it, it looks really... simple and easy going. So this is something what I actually like and what I think that my brand represents, kind of, you know, simplicity, something easy going, something that's also
natural,
of course connected with nature, but in the same way elegant and refined and kind of timeless.
Beautiful, and they're very light and
they're really light, which often people are on the first like, oh, they must be heavy, but they're not, because wood is actually not that heavy.
Yeah.
In a small amount.
And you do each piece with the hand, with the super small brushes, like zeros or ones.
Yes, as you said, I recently had like an eye operation because, I mean, I don't know if this is because, but maybe it is because I was working like a beast.
Yeah.
Before, so like I was diagnosed with detached retina. So I had an urgent surgery. And then this was basically a month and a half ago, so not that long ago.
But you're resting now? Or?
I'm working, but like...
Easy.
Easier
but,
now.
You know, now I will do it easy going.
How are our people, old people say in Croatia, Filip, something zdravlje first or something like the health?
Health comes first.
Health comes first. That's you learn later a little bit. Yes. Amazing stuff.
I mean, I enjoy doing it. It's not like, oh, it's money. I mean, it sustains me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is important, but I love doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. I love doing it. And next to that, I'm also, of course, painting, exhibiting, selling when I have the opportunity to sell paintings. But, you know, every artist and who knows art knows how it's not so easy.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So, I mean, it's a kind of struggle, but it's nice.
Yeah, you know? yeah. So,
enjoyment.
Thank you for sharing this with us. So you two have a lot in common, I guess, like a yin and yang. So like one is like more explosive, Filip is a bit more calmer. And so you have always something to talk about when you're private, or so now it's I'm being nosy, but I'm curious, like, are you talking a lot in private, or you are just understanding everything, like already, telepathy?
Well, we actually don't talk so much.
Lately, no.
Because Andrea likes to talk, so she's not also talking. You come so in much.
But I don't know. I think we understand each other pretty well. So, yeah. So we are not discussing a lot of things because I mean, more or less, that everything is clear.
We discuss sometimes, but okay.
But
it's
mostly
normal.
When she gets angry at me because I didn't do something like it should be done, or I forgot to do something, or I didn't say what I had to
she's
say.
She's not saying no. She's like la la la.
But it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, and then she gets angry, and then like that. And that's like normal couple life. You know?
You told me once when she was gone for this.
That's why it's exciting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's boring. Otherwise,
exactly. You know, he was missing you so much once. He came to visit me at my place, and he was like, "I miss Andrea. I miss problems, man." I was like, "What?" I didn't get him. I was like, "What do you mean?" You know, there is always something happening.
Yes,
and then we are solving it.
I mean, you're alone. You have to create your own problems. I got used to Andrea creating my problems. So. Our problems, you know. So I got lazy on creating problems. And the only problems I can create are connected with alcohol, drugs, and some stupid thing, you know. So I can fuck myself only with the problems. So
okay, these are sophisticated problems that need engineer solutions with the women, yeah, and the patience and the strength, inner strength, no.
It's okay. We labeled me artist. Problem creator.
We are just joking a bit. Now we will have feminists all over writing comments and so on. No, this is, I think this is very nice and kind of a romantic note that I see it as a romantic note. Whoever thinks hers something else can just click off and watch Trump. Anyway, drugs.
Yeah.
Man, tell us a little bit about it. I'm curious how it is. These drugs, I hope, I don't know, I have a wooden table. I don't want to knock on a wood, but I think I'm told to test those ones.
Yeah.
Can you lead us a little bit through it? Can you lead us to the heights and depths? Uh-huh. And maybe then later how he was addicted when you two started to date. I think you mentioned me something like that.
I was
a story
addicted.
That I would like to hear later.
No, really, you would.
I know, but where we stopped? We stopped at, I started heroin. Yeah, I was doing it for quite some time. And then I stopped doing it, but I started doing this therapy. With I started to go to psychologist, psychiatrist, but my personal experience, no one can help you, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no one, unless you decide for yourself to do something.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, I didn't decide anything. I just went to the psychiatrist so he can prescribe me the substitution therapy.
Methadone.
Basically, it was... No, I was not doing methadone. At that time, it was a new drug. Like, it was first it was called Subotex. Then after came Suboxone. Subotex was a nice drug. I mean, nice, not nice. They all told like they told like you they taught that it's not so addictive, and it was a suppressant for heroin.
So it was not a substitution, it was suppressant.
It was a suppressant, but the effects were like similar like to one that you got from heroin. Not the same hype or anything, but you feel this drug, the stunt. How to explain it? It's hard in English.
Was it disappointing, like when you take this comparing to heroin? So it was quite a good substitution.
It was a good feeling. I mean, it was a good feeling in the beginning, you know, and it was a suppressant, and this was Subotex, and you can also dissolve it and take it intravenously.
Jesus Christ!
But this was not like meant to be.
Okay.
Like taken like that. But we did it because I was like, I have to say I was like a needle maniac also. I like to do it.
Okay.
It's also the ritual.
Wow.
The ritual of taking the drug intravenously. The ritual is also important.
It's like beautiful in a way. You
got addicted to that also.
Interesting.
I mean, in a way that you think that the drug is going to work. That it's going to be stronger if you took it like that. So it becomes a ritual. I don't know. It's a ritual. Yeah,
like people enjoy rolling tobacco because.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a ritual. So that was taking this Subotex, and then after came Suboxone, and Suboxone you cannot take it like that. So it was like just you take it under the tongue, dissolve it, or yeah.
It was a really sounds like yeah. I mean, this sounds like no way out from this.
And no, the problem is with these drugs that in the end, after some years, I discovered it was like much harder to get away from that than from heroin. I mean, I was doing Suboxone for a lot of years. When we started dating, I was still doing it. So
you knew that.
She knew, yeah.
Okay.
I was taking Normabel, you know Normabel? It's Valium. Like I was taking like 30, 40 milligrams of Valium every day with this drug also. I mean, Suboxone plus Valium.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was like just, I was like normal.
Wow, and then you've been leveled on the function. Have you been working at that time? So you then started dating at that time?
I started doing this therapy before we started dating. I started dating when I was really like deep in this therapy already, like fucked up pretty
did
good.
Did you then decided that it's the way, did you came to this point to, as you mentioned, that you decide, okay, I don't want this anymore, or you've been still going and
I mean, I was always at the point like, I should stop, but I never did it, you know, but...
So poetic.
She helped me a lot to stop this madness.
Wow.
But so she's not normal that she even like...
Who is she really?
Andrea
is... She.
That she started dating someone that is that it's all fucked up, you know, like me. I was really fucked up, I have to say. Like,
so he told you honestly in the beginning. He's honest guy.
Yeah. He's honest. Yeah. So. Probably I was fucked up also the same. In some other
artistic,
way.
Artistic honesty. You both are artists.
But in the end, yeah, I was on heroin plus this medication. You can say like good. 12 years.
Oh my God.
From, I was like, okay, 11 years.
Plus needling or after?
No, everything all together.
All together, 12 years, man, that's a career.
Lot. Yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes.
So it's possible to do it.
It's possible, but I need to go to, I went to Berlin to leave the drugs, you know.
What,
like
an irony.
This is an irony 3000. This is unbelievable.
What an irony.
I came to Berlin to get rid of the drugs.
You don't need the drug.
Okay. And it worked, you know. So that's, I recommend Berlin if you are
come
like,
to the source.
Where do you find a woman like this? To it can be only artists that can understand the depths and to mean, give you a hand.
But in the end, it's on your on you. Yeah. If you decide not to do it, it's like if you say to yourself like I will stop. You stop. I mean, it's like. It's a cliche, you know, just to say it like that, because I know when you are in it, it's like hard, you know, it's, you don't think, like, you don't reason like this, you are in a different world. So it's, I mean, it's hard to help someone with this problem, you know, everyone has to find his own way in a way. And for someone that is not on the drugs to tell, I don't know you, that you're on the drugs deep inside, what to do? It doesn't work because you're not on the same level. You're not on the same page.
That's the biggest problem.
Your mind works in a different way. So until you have this switch click, someone never has it, you know? Someone needs really help, but never gets it, you know? And they're on the drugs the whole life, you know? So it's personal. So there is no recipe for
is it
this.
A thing of
and
character?
It's luck.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is it luck? Is it a character? Is it love? Is it a lot of components?
A lot of components, but character most of the...
That's what I think. Character. You have the character. That
you need
says.
The character. You need the character to like go through the suffering in the end, because you suffer, you feel the pain a lot. And you feel the biggest problem was this emotional emptiness after. Because after you become numb, yeah. Really numb from the drugs. And to regain after, and this is a process that's like, you need several years to regain the emotions, the feelings. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Several years.
Yes,
man.
Yes. To be
weekends.
Like to,
this
to,
is not like cigarette. Eh?
No.
Several years.
Yes, yes.
But imagine like if you are
to regain
11,
this emotional like and
numbness back.
Yes, to get it back and to
go through the pain.
Not through the pain, just this feeling that you have a purpose in, and to find some purpose in life, like to be concerned with some, building a house, buy a car,
loving a woman.
Love a woman.
Yes.
Everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I put in the emotional.
Okay, but,
so,
doing,
but doing stuff. Something.
Yeah, women can't just come. Don't think, guys out there, that you need to fall in love and you will gonna get rid of it. You were lucky.
But like doing something, you know, with your life, because you don't need. I mean, you don't have any purpose. You know, that's the problem. Also, you don't have any ambitions. Also, to do something, that's also the big problem. So, yeah. This you need quite some time to regain, like this need to build something, to realize yourself, like to. So this is the biggest problem. Yeah,
philosopher explained it really, really well.
Yeah, I would just like to point out that
your point of view?
That like what
tell
you said, like love, and I mean, it's kind of bullshit because.
Mm-hmm.
What also he said, until the moment when you yourself decide, make a switch in your head and decide to make a change, no one can do it. Then if, like, okay, it is some help from loved ones, family and those, of course, but it's all up on you, on him in this case, because at no point could I really, really understand.
That's this level he's talking about.
I could, like, really, really not understand, you know, what he's going through. Just be a support because I saw more in him than what he is at that point.
I want to say something connected with this. She was much more support than she will ever realize because she was my like... I concentrated my goals on her, like...
You mentioned goals, yes.
So
you need
I couldn't make myself happy, so I wanted to make her happy. Yeah. Making her happy was my happiness also, in a way. And it's also still to this day, and it always will be.
Yeah,
you know. But it's this is not just connected with addiction. It's just like how I am also, like what type of kind of person I am. But
that's true. I can
making her making her happy. It's it was like it gave me also a purpose, you know. So this is this is. And she was always like a big support, you know, big support. So it's you need someone that is normal and that is strong around you to see
that she's strong. Yeah,
yes,
she's strong.
She is strong. Yes.
So now my next question would be absurd, but yeah, you were never afraid that it might take you both in. The demons of the drugs and
no,
was already more stable.
No, that I would
when you met him was he
in? No,
I was fucked up when we met.
That's why I'm asking her. I think it's a scary thing.
I wasn't scared of that I will be pulled back into the drugs. No, that of course not.
You haven't been, to be clear, you haven't been taking heroin. You just experimented for a few years.
Heroin, never. I experimented when I was younger, and then a little bit, like it took a while to leave completely. But since we were together, I only used to, like in company, if someone had some marijuana, I would smoke and like so really almost
and
nothing.
And I never talked about this with her. Like I never used... I was taking therapy at that time this was something that I did it always privately.
You didn't pressure
I didn't her. Want her to know too much about that also.
But she knew what's going on, but I not mean, the everyday burden he didn't share.
Yes, but no.
Yeah. And so...
I mean, you didn't share, but still it's obvious, it's everything. Obvious. So, yeah, I mean, you can't hide.
How did you live with this? I mean, this is, he mentioned few years, so it's like a road.
I mean, it is.
It's a one
I mean,
little
it
relationship.
Was, you know, it was a risk that you take in the beginning, and then kind of, you know, you go through it. You know, of course, there were moments when I wanted to get away, get out, but you know, also you are carrying something with you. You know?
You believed in him also.
That also, but you are carrying from the moment I decided, you know, to go through this, you are carrying this burden also of possibly
everything.
Not succeeding.
Also
you know?
Him not succeeding.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And then this fear, what would happen and those things. But in the way it turned out, I would say good. I mean, it's been so many years, so I think it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like a past
path.
Life.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah.
But you need a little bit of, like I would say, craziness, spontaneity.
I love artists. People out there, you know, when you say artists are crazy people, artists are brave, understanding people and open-minded.
But
You've
you know what is this? Not to fear the of a failure. I, for example, have a feeling that today young people lack this a lot. You know, they're over-calculated. Thinking, oh, maybe if I do this, I will be hurt. I won't do this. I won't send the message because if I send the message, I will get this. He will think this, you know, like overcalculated. Like having this spontaneity, the spirit of, you know, just...
Living the life.
Yeah,
with risk a little bit. You
exactly
know.
This. I
everything
think
is calculated.
Today is kind of missing, you know.
Yeah.
Don't offend this one, don't offend this one, don't
honesty is lacking a little bit now lately.
It's too much thought about everything, like what are you going to say, not offend this guy, just man, hey.
Cancel culture.
We are not
what?
We are not made of sugar,
thing.
You know.
I think it's, these things are actually healthy.
That's a good word, that's a good word.
Yeah. It takes away the essence of like of us. I mean, of
spontaneity and being
being human.
Being
you know,
moment,
doing mistakes and like not succeeding or actually succeeding and learning from it. You know, I also learned huge amount of different things through this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, psychologically.
Mm-hmm. You grew enormously.
Yeah.
Then if you would be afraid and say, okay, no, this guy, come later, you know.
Exactly.
Make some cosmetics, sort it out, and then we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah. When you are well, then maybe we can talk. Like, I mean,
it is that way.
This is what I hear every day around.
Mm. Yes.
That's a good point.
You know, it could have also been that our relationship didn't succeed, but that would also have been okay. You know, yes. if he is on a positive path.
You've played all cards.
Exactly. Mm. Playing with all cards open and not calculating too much. You know, sometimes in life it's good to do that.
Yes. Every time I did something with balls, even if I crashed, I wasn't sorry for it.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And every time I still have some fears, like, oh, I don't know if I can do family, or I don't know if I'm in the mess. Always there is fear. Everybody's afraid of something. Mm. And it always takes me to the wrong place. Always.
Yeah.
I'll stay a single guy if I think like that all my life, because like, what if? And overthinking, that's this social media things. This makes you overthink because you have time to sit.
It blocks you.
Yeah, life is passing and you are thinking what to do.
Mm.
That's something that is not us, a bit older, maybe, to call us like, older people talk about it. No, this is the roots of the human nature that should be not forgotten, even if we evolve and eye is here and faster and chips in the head, people will always be people.
Mm. Yeah, and it's good to have fear. I mean, if you don't have fear, you don't, like, it doesn't, you need to challenge yourself, you know. If you don't challenge yourself, you don't grow. That's also a thing, you know.
The definition of courage.
Yes.
Doing it in spite of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are still on. I could talk with you so long, but I know Philip came from work. We should do the second part, you know. We will meet some other day. I'll let you go. Guys, you're amazing. I love you so much. You know, I'm just saying, I think we can, now if we start going back into your art, which I would like to talk a lot, and philosophy with you, I think this, let's call it the first part.
Thank you
so much for being so open.
No problem. I mean, it's the only way we can do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You have to be open. Otherwise, you don't go to a podcast.
That's true. That's true also. Yeah, like no cosmetics.
Yeah. No cosmetics.
Yeah. Some people
to underground podcast.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Okay.
Good luck. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll have a beer now, finally. Yeah? Okay.
Which one?
See us, man.
Yeah, the warm one.
The warm one.